Witches are sometimes real. Let's talk about it on this edition of He Likes.
That was Steve Brown, and this is Key Life, a no-nonsense approach to God's Word. If you have a Bible, get it, and let's see how it applies to real life. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope that your pastor's sermon helped change your life the way my pastor's sermon helped change my life. Let's not get this right. This is the beginning of the week, and I'm doing as good as I can. If you have your Bible, open it to 1 and 2 Samuel as we continue with our Old Testament survey. If you're just joining us, and every week new people listen to Key Life, I want to welcome you, and I want to tell you what we're doing. Generally, we take a book of the Bible and go through it page by page, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, line by line, precept by precept. But I decided, because I really believe that Christians are missing so much that's so good in the Old Testament, that I would take whatever time it took to go through the Old Testament. Take a week or two, maybe 3 weeks on each book of the Old Testament as we do a survey. Now, that's a fairly long series, and I have suggested that if it gets too old or too boring, or you get tired of it, we'll stop and do something else for a little bit and come back to it. But we're going to finish this. If the Lord tarries and I don't die, we're going to finish this Old Testament survey because I think it's really, really important. At any rate, we're up to 1 and 2 Samuel. And if you have your Bible and you're in a place where you could open it, might want to open it to that place. It's our practice on Mondays to go before the throne before we study the book. Let's do that. Father, sometimes when we look at our lives and we realize what we deserve, we're overwhelmed with your kindness and your gentleness and your generosity and your grace. Father, help us never to get to the point where we think that we've earned anything, that you owe us anything, that we have measured up and therefore must receive your blessing. Father, keep us in the remembrance that grace always runs downhill. Father, you are gracious and you're kind, and we praise you and we worship you. We see a strange carpenter hanging spread eagle on the town garbage heap between two thieves, Father. We realize that that was done for us, that we might be free and we might be forgiven, and we might live forever, and we praise you for that. We look at the country where we live, Father, especially on this President's Day, and we think of our freedoms, and we are so grateful. Father, we look at your generosity in so many areas, but if you've never done any of that, you're still the Creator, Sovereign God, the one who rules everything, and you are worthy of our praise, and we give it. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast. You know the problems we face. You know the loneliness that we feel. You know the things that we fear. And so, Father, we're here. We've tried everything else. And you have the word of life. You're sufficient. Remind us of that. Father, we ask for an intimate walk with you. We ask that we would know your presence and that you would give us the grace to follow you wherever you go. Now, Father, as always, we lift the one who teaches on Key Life before you, forgiving his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, after spending a considerable amount of time on the exegetical side observations on 1 and 2 Samuel, when it was written, who wrote it, what it is about, some key verses, We've then decided, or I decided, that we're going to spend, because there are three main characters in these two books, that we're going to spend a little bit of time with each of these characters. There is Samuel, and he is the last of the judges. He kind of messed it up, and the judges, their reign came to an end. And then there is Saul, who is the first king. And he messed it up too. David didn't do a wonderful job, to be perfectly honest with you. But at any rate, we're going to spend a little bit of time with each of these characters. Now, we spent some time with Samuel. We looked at 1 Samuel 3, 2 through 14, the call of God to Samuel when he was a little boy. And then we looked at 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 22, Samuel's willingness to be obedient to God even when he didn't want to. And then we turn to my old friend Saul, 1 Samuel 10, 25 through 27. We saw how Saul started so well with such wisdom and such compassion, and then it went bad, and it went bad seriously. And then, as we ended our study in 1 and 2 Samuel last week, we were looking at an example of how it had gone bad, and I just mentioned it. I want to talk to you a little bit about it today. So if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel 28, and I'm going to start reading at the 7th verse and end around the 19th verse. It's a very, very interesting passage about a witch. At any rate, if you start that chapter, you'll find out that Saul's been going to God, and God won't speak to him. You ever feel that way? I mean, he really wants to know something from God, and God won't say anything. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, a witch, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "In fact, there is a woman who is a witch of Endor, a medium of Endor." So Saul disguised himself, put on other clothes, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, "Please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me the one I shall name to you." Then the woman said to him, "Look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die?" And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." Then the woman said, "All right." Well, that's not in the text, but she did. "All right, whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." Now, Samuel was dead. We didn't cover that, but he was. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul the king." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." So he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man coming up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and doesn't answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do." Then Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, namely David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Now that, I mean, I suspect Saul, it's not in the text, said, "Oops." He probably wished he had just, well, he looked back on his life, and he said, "I wish I had done some things a whole lot different than I did them." Now, I don't have a lot of time today, but and we're going to spend a lot more time in that text tomorrow. But one thing I want to point out to you in this particular text is that this was not trickery. This was a witch, and God allowed the witch or the medium to really call up the spirit of Samuel. In other words, this is not a fake bag of tricks. We have a tendency in our sophisticated age to think that everything that is supernatural, that is not of God, is, of course, a trick. We look at the mediums and the witches and the New Age folks, and we say, grow up. You've got to be kidding, man. That's silly and that's superficial, and frankly, a lot of it is. When guys stand on the mountain holding hands and going, something's wrong, they need to get a life. But I want you to know there is more in this world than is dreamt of in your philosophy, Gertrude. In other words, there are some supernatural things that are happening in this world that are quite real, and they're quite scary, and if you're a Christian, you ought to stay away from them. C.S. Lewis was involved in the occult before he became a Christian, and he looks back on that time with great horror because it was real, and it was dangerous, and it was demonic. I don't have time to go into the scripture, but you stay away from those things. They're not good. They're not from him, and they can be very destructive to the believer. Billy Graham said, nobody, and I think he was referring to J.B. Rhine, who was the forefather of parapsychology. Mr. Graham said, nobody has ever looked into these things and not come out believing that there is something beyond what we call the natural. In other words, some witches are weird. Some are real. You think about that. I'm in. Listen, if you don't have our spring magazine, I'd love to send it to you. It's absolutely free. There's an article I wrote on why Jesus had to die. Wouldn't it have been better for him to live to a ripe old age and taught us a whole lot more good stuff? Why did he have to die so young? And then Phil Yancey has a wonderful piece called Makeover from his book. And then the magazine includes a question and answer column, information on our upcoming Lake Barkley Fellowship Conference, and, of course, a lot of great resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. If you'd like to get the magazine, do give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or in Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular name. And it's free. I really mean that. Most of the people that are ministered unto by Key Life are not able to help us financially, but you can. I wish you would pray about it. This is expensive, and that you would be as generous as you can. You can charge a contribution on your MasterCard card, Visa Discover card, or included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, as my thank you, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette to you in this dictation. Hey, give us the call letters of this station when you arrive at goal, and Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.